Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the Church of the Roses. I'm so thankful you are here today. It's such a joy to see your smiling faces. So what a blessing. We have a few announcements today. One is that we have these red friendship pads, we call them. We encourage you to pass them down and fill them out and then pass them back down the pew again so you can see who's sitting in the pew with you. And greet them during the passing of the peace. If I can give this one to you guys. So. we also have a few reminders about some events that are coming up. We have the Pixar movie coming up called Up. If you haven't seen it, it's so worth it to come for this. And you'll also get ice cream and popcorn, too, if you come. So it's on August 1st. It's a Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. So we encourage you all to come. It'll be in the Rose Room. Then we have, of course, our Thursday noon hour of prayer is still going on throughout the summer. So if you want a special time of prayer, or if you want to just have a little time in the Rose Room for a very informal time for worship and devotion and reading scripture too, join us for the noon hour of prayer on Thursdays. We have Sacred Space coming up next Saturday. So it's going to be a wonderful Sacred Space again next Saturday evening here at 6 o'clock. We do a big circle now up here in the chancel. And then we go out and have some tables of exploring some of our spiritual experiences. This time it'll be about the bread of life. So we're going to have a big variety of different kinds of bread here. And then we are going to do communion after we have kind of a bread experience. And so Nita Penny has her own bread maker, so she's going to make a lot of different kinds of bread for us, she said. So please come. We'd love to have you join us for Sacred Space next Saturday night. And bring your friends. The book club is studying the book The Sea Wolf, or reading the book The Sea Wolf, another Jack London book. So if you want to even just come for the discussion, it'll be a really interesting discussion. But talk to Jean Nussmeyer if you would like to make sure you get the book and have a chance to read it before. And then we have a real need for more people to do the Montgomery High School breakfast, especially, I think it's Tuesdays and Wednesdays, the volunteer crew needs more people. So if you could volunteer to even do just once a month, it's a great experience. You also get to eat a wonderful breakfast, too, while you're here. But it's a hot breakfast, and it's just a blessing to be able to provide that for the high school students. So consider volunteering either a Tuesday or a Wednesday, but anytime. We're glad to have substitutes, and we have a list of substitutes that can be called if you can even just sign up to substitute when they really need someone, and they'll give you a couple days' notice ahead of time. But Chris is the person to talk to if you can volunteer, so we would love to have more volunteers for Tuesday and Wednesday. And then you'll see in the bulletin, the beginning of the bulletin is a prayer that I found that I thought was especially beautiful about hunger and about the hunger that we feel in our hearts and in our souls when we don't have a relationship with God. And so I encourage you to just read this as we prepare for worship today. And just consider how we all need to fill that up with a way of sharing and caring for others, which is a way to fill ourselves up with the Spirit of God. And we have a very special guest today. We have Stephen Swartz, who's here today from the Interfaith Sustainable Food Collaborative, and he'll be speaking with you in a few minutes at the end of my sermon, but we really encourage you to just think, too, about ways that we can partner with the Interfaith Sustainable Food Collaborative as another way that we meet the hunger in the community. So let us focus our hearts and minds now on worshiping God.
Thank you.
Please stand for our call to worship. Why have you come today?
We are tired in body and spirit. Will we find wholeness here?
Jesus gathers the fragments of our lives that nothing may be lost. Let us worship God.
Please join me in the congregational prayer. Sustainer of the hungry, like a mother you long to feed your children until each is satisfied, teach us to end waste and hunger.
Turn our eyes to you alone, but aware of our deepest longings, we will reach out with Christ to feed others with the miracle of your love. Amen.
Now the words of affirmation. Our God of salvation sent the Son to seek out and save what is lost. With God's unending compassion, we trust that those who are found will be healed by God's love with our help.
We are forgiven and sustained by God's grace.
Alleluia. Amen.
You may be seated.
As the psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. Freely you have received, freely also give. Will the ushers please come forward to receive the offering? Please pray with me. We are grateful, O God, that your Spirit is at work within us, nudging and stretching us and causing us to grow and to think and to present ourselves here to worship. As we are surrounded by friends, we sense again that we could never live alone. Let our offerings be an expression of our gratitude, and may they help to spread the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now let us pass the peace of Christ to one another. With peace be with you and also with you.
Yeah.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can all ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy follow me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
So take me as you find me,
all my fears and failures. Fill my life again.
I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender.
Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save.
He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Shine your light and
let the whole world see.
We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and
let the whole world see.
We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Amen.
Let the whole world see.
Singing for the glory of the risen King.
sea.
We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Thank you. Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. Listen now for the word of God. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now Jesus called his teachings the way because Jesus wanted his disciples to follow the way, or another time he would call it the path of righteousness that he had set before them. Now the path he set, as we know, is still good to follow today. The way that Jesus taught helps us have a better life, helps us be able to cope with the ups and downs in life, the disappointments and the joys and the sorrows. But Jesus was not promoting Christian arrogance. Instead, he said, "My peace I give to you." Now, Jesus came to give us abundant life. An abundant life happens when you feel peace in your soul. Jesus came to heal and forgive and teach us how to live a life of sacrifice. As he said, "No greater love than this, than to give of one's life for one's friends." And that leads us to this passage today. Jesus used this self-sacrificial role modeling of a little boy to get a crowd of 5,000 to share and care for those who were hungry beside them. Jesus showed compassion not only in the way that he was healing and teaching the people who followed him to this deserted retreat spot that he was going to on the mountain, but he also found a way to feed them, to spiritually and physically nurture them. Jesus's way of sharing and caring, that is what he showed them how to do. Now, the word companion is like the word compassion that we talked about in the sermon last Sunday. Remember now, compassion, the root of that was guts, which meant that you felt something deep in your guts. That's compassion, when you feel it deeply for someone else. And companion is interesting. In Latin, it means one who breaks bread with another. One who breaks bread with another is a companion. Now, isn't that true, though? You do tend to bond with people you eat with and share your food with. That's why we have food at our fellowship hour after church. And Linda and Sam today have brought lots for us to be companions with one another with. So I'm excited about that. Thank you so much. We are compassionate companions to one another here in the church. And we're to envelop and embrace others who need that in this world. Now, with the help of a generous child, Jesus inspires his companions to be compassionate, and they inspire all the rest of the crowd to do likewise by role modeling, sharing, and giving to anyone who is hungry. We come to church hoping God's presence isn't some kind of just wishful thinking. We come looking for signs that at the other end of our deep longing, there is God. And we still come to be fed spiritually and physically every time we come to church. So our food programs are signs of God's abundance and compassion. God inspires us here at the Church of the Roses to feed her children through the breakfast program, through the community garden, through the snacks now that we provide for the Boys and Girls Club across the street, and the Deacon Food Bag Ministry, where we hand out food bags from our front office nearly every day. But maybe we can do more. On the day when the fishes and the loaves fed 5,000, the crowd was hoping for healing and wholeness and for better lives when they came seeking Jesus. They came seeking God's healing love, and they were not disappointed. Jesus showed them that they could receive healing and wholeness by sharing their resources with others. It sounds funny, but you are healed when you try to heal others. The act of sharing the fishes and the loaves and the other food that the people brought with them became a mutual blessing for all who were present. A child willing to come forward, and I found a picture of the child that came forward. Isn't that amazing? I thought actually he looked very much probably like the child that would have been there, so I thought it would help to see his cute little face. A child willing to come forward to share trusted Jesus and handed over the little bit that he had brought with him to sustain his own life and the life of his family. That small gesture sparked the rest of the crowd to do the same. And that is what Jesus meant when he said, "You must lose your life to save it. You have to risk and get out of your comfort zone. You have to break free from your sense of security that binds you and keeps you from making new friends and helping others. You have to trust that God will provide and take that leap of faith into an adventure of sharing and caring." But the people probably were afraid deep down that they were going to go home a little hungry that day when they decided they needed to share their food with their neighbors. But there were 12 baskets of leftovers. Jesus showed them that sharing ends up with an abundance. An abundance was left because the people decided to practice the abundant life that Jesus offered to them. This is what abundant faith looks like. When one of God's children gives the little that they have to support God's work because they trust God will provide, God does, and God takes the few fish and bread, and it miraculously becomes plenty to feed 5,000. But what do we do when we go through times when we feel like we have nothing to give, when it feels like we've run out of gas, so to speak, and have no more energy for others. There are times when you may feel physically and emotionally drained. I think all of us go through those times. Hospice chaplain David Johnson says, in moments like these, when he calls it, he says, when I have emotional scarcity, I remember a fundamental truth, he says, that the ministry I serve in Christ pivots not on how much I have or what I give, but rather on how much God gives by multiplying what I have. Not how much I have or what I give, but rather on how much God gives by multiplying what I have. So when Jesus tells the disciples to feed them, they argue with him that they have nothing and that they don't have enough money to buy all the food needed for the large crowd. He has just finished healing people and performing miracles, and still they doubt that they can do what he asks. And then they discover they do have something. A little boy with a big heart, willing to share all that he had. Jesus takes their nothing and turns it into something bigger than they ever could imagine. Jesus teaches us to take what we might think is nothing and allow God to turn it into something too, for the good of the whole world. Out of nothing, remember, God created the whole universe. The economy of the kingdom of God is abundance. God knows no scarcity. My refrigerator doesn't have to be full for Jesus to take what I have and feed others. Chaplain Johnson goes on to remark that this call to give and share isn't an invitation, though, to be frivolous with our resources or to try to live beyond our limits. But remember, even after the miraculous abundance of fishes and loaves, the disciples still gathered up and wisely conserved the leftovers. I tend to be a leftover conserver. I don't know if you guys are. I'm always walking out of a restaurant with leftovers because I feel like I can't just leave it on the plate and let them throw it away. And that's what Jesus was like, too. Yet today, millions starve because our culture operates with a scarcity mindset and a scarcity system that limits distribution of food and resources in order to protect the security of a few. One research article that I found from the UN World Food Program said that 850 million people, so one in eight of the world's whole population, go to bed hungry every night. Do we even know what it feels like to be hungry in between meals? Think about it. They go to bed hungry every night. Early hunger in children leaves a lifelong legacy of cognitive and physical impairment for the rest of their lives if they start out malnourished. But 4.9 million senior citizens in the United States are food insecure. 4.9 million in the United States are food insecure, which means they're not sure they're going to have enough food the next day to satisfy what they need. 78% of food insecure seniors are depressed. That's what happens when you don't have good nutrition. You get tired and depressed. The human and economic waste is truly horrifying. And I have a slide, Eddie, to show. For every 3.6 seconds, a child dies because of hunger. Every 3.6 seconds. Hunger is both a cause and a symptom of poverty. Poor nutrition damages bodies and brains, which is a tragic waste of economic potential. The fact that hunger still exists at all in our advanced society shows the urgency of redistributing assets. Providing the additional calories needed by the 13% of the world's population facing hunger would require only 1% of the current global food supply. I remember on the farm, too, a lot of the corn and the soybeans would go to waste. They'd rot and mold in silos sometimes because of the lack of the ability to distribute them across the world. And now with trade barriers, it's even worse. Farmers are really suffering. By multiplying the fishes and the loaves, God reminds us that we don't have to hoard or waste food. There's always enough supply to meet the demand when people live in the abundant way of sharing and giving. So what can you do today to provide a better, abundant life for others, as Jesus would have us do? I saw this one really cute little girl, too, that said, "Let kids be kids instead of being hungry." Now, our church has had a partnership with the Interfaith Sustainable Food Collaborative since we built the community garden in 2014. And this wonderful organization gave us a grant for our garden. Besides other ways that we have partnered, we've partnered in seminars and in fundraisers, and Eddie has gone actually and spoke at the Interfaith Sustainable Food Collaborative conferences before about getting young people involved in it. And it's just such a wonderful program. And our PCUSA, our Presbyterian Church USA, Hunger Program Associate, Andrew Kang Bartlett, often is one of the speakers at their conferences. So our church in the global church already has a partnership with the Interfaith Sustainable Food Collaborative. And I've learned so much about, from going to these conferences, about how people can support our local farmers and our local food suppliers by working with them. And so I invited Steve on very short notice to teach us how our church could do maybe even more to help fight hunger and multiply the food resources that are out there by supporting local farmers and other ways that they have found are really effective for sharing and caring to help others have a better life. So I invite Steve to introduce himself with more of his history and then share with us today about the Interfaith Sustainable Food Collaborative. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your powerful words and the invitation to be here, the opportunity. So I'll tell you a little more about the Interfaith Sustainable Food Collaborative and some of the work we're doing, and I'm looking forward to it. So what I haven't totally decided is how much I'm going to follow my notes. So we'll see how that goes. But there, so our mission really is to support the local sustainable food movement by working with faith communities. And we work with Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Muslims, any faith community. We started working in Sonoma and Marin counties, and now have expanded to do some work in Alameda and Contra Costa. And we work at two levels. One is the congregational project level, helping a church get a community garden going, or helping set up a produce stand at a church, for example, at Greater Powerhouse Church of God in Christ in Southwest Santa Rosa. And we helped them set up a produce stand where we connected them with some farmers. Those farmers then are selling their product locally, and we helped them be able to make sure the product was affordable. We helped them, we got some grants that we passed through so that anyone who used CalFresh, which is also formerly known as food stamps, gets $2 worth of product for every dollar they use from their CalFresh food stamps, a 2-for-1 incentive. So those are some of the project level kinds of things. And then we're also working at the advocacy level, because before I started the Interfaith Food Collaborative about 6 years ago, I was working in the secular world to promote local and sustainable food access. And on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., there's about 10 professionals working for the organic and local food movement. But the faith communities have about 200 offices in D.C. and a lot of power. And we're working with them to kind of expand the range of topics that they're that are being advocated for. So I'll say a little bit more about that. Sustainability, we talk about a three-legged stool of sustainability. There's an economic side, the environmental side, and then the social justice side. So for the faith communities, and as your church is a great example, yeah, I think social justice is first, right? But for the organic food movement, I think that has been the weak leg of that three-legged stool. So the faith communities have something to teach, have something very important to teach the secular organic local food movement. Say, hey, let's think about how to serve low-income people, right? And also, if you think about any social movement, civil rights is, you know, comes to mind. Churches were right there at the forefront, and if crucial to the success of the effort. I mean, that's the same as we talk now about what many call the food justice movement. All right, how do we make it a more just system? Pastor Cindy mentioned Andrew Kong Bartlett. I mean, he has a saying that really inspired the work we've gotten going through the Interfaith Food Collaborative, which is we have to help congregations move from canned food drives to community food security. So what does that mean? I want to say a little bit more about that. I think, you know, a lot of the work in faith communities has been around food has been hunger relief, right? So a soup kitchen or a canned food drive. And, you know, I've known Eddie and Kim Siemens and Pastor Cindy for several years, but I don't think I shared with them that for my father, he grew up on a little farm in Czechoslovakia. And when he was 13, his family was taken to Auschwitz, and then he was sent to Buchenwald concentration camp when he was 13. He got out of there when he was 14. The stories he told me growing up were really all about how they didn't have enough to eat. Hard bread, broth, maybe a slice of carrot once a week. So that obviously inspired some of the work I'm doing now, but I think the point is, I do care about emergency hunger relief, but this other side that Andrew Kong Bartlett and others are thinking about, how do we make sure that the way we're helping people in need, how do we make sure that we're not just counting how many pounds of food are distributed or how many calories, but are we doing something healthful, right? Is the food healthful? Are we getting fresh vegetables or are we helping them get cake or soda, right? And this is a piece of the puzzle that's more complicated, you know, because there's a lot of great work that's happening at the 150 pantries in Sonoma County, but around the country, some of those pantries, you know, are providing food that is likely to lead to obesity, diabetes, and it's you're helping on one hand and not in another. So what are we doing about it with interfaith food? One thing is a community-supported agriculture. So those are CSA or vegetable boxes, farms like Tierra Vegetables and others in the area, Singing Frogs Farms, First Light Farm, and What's Up Farm. What's Up, on a Sunday like today, they're bringing vegetable boxes to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Santa Rosa. People, when they leave church, they can pick up a box of vegetables. It might be, you know, if there's 100 families in the pews, there might be 10 getting these boxes. They're paying the farmer for them. Some of the families are paying with CalFresh, and no one knows more about CalFresh and food stamps than our county leader on this, Kim Siemens. Mm-hmm. You might not know. I hope people know I met her through her professional capacity, not through the congregation. But people get their, if they pay with CalFresh, we've given a grant to the church so that half the price of that box for the whole season is paid for by a grant from the Fed, paid for ultimately by the federal government. So we're helping low-income people get the same high-quality, healthful food as the rest of the congregation and making sure that they can afford it, right? More recently, you know, I think most of the congregations we work with, there's a lot of seniors in the pews, right? So there's a program called the Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program, again, to help seniors get that best healthy food and to get out to the farmer's market and be active, enjoy the music, different kinds of things. It's the Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program. They give you seniors $20 a year of coupons to go get fresh vegetables at the market. Turns out Sonoma County, the redemption's very, very low. So what we're doing is working with a couple of faith-based partners now to say, hey, if you help get the these coupons out, we'll help you set up a farmer's market tour. And actually, we were able to get some funding so that if a senior goes that one time to the farmer's market, they can go back three more times or four more times over the year, and we'll match the incentive they're getting from the government with $60 of additional funds. Again, supporting the access to local food. So what else can I say? Farm bill, the farm bill's happening right now. Some of you might be following it. This is a great opportunity to make a difference in the food system. I don't get to say this number very often, but $1 trillion dollars is what's up for grabs for 10, that's how much the farm bill allocates over a 10-year period. The House of Representatives cut the CalFresh or food stamp program quite a bit. The Senate version is a lot better. The two versions of these bills are getting negotiated now, and they're going to be over the coming months. It's not really clear if Congress will get something done this year or it'll happen next year, but a lot has been happening. What we're trying to do is make sure that the faith communities, those 215 offices on Capitol Hill, are not just talking about CalFresh or not just talking about food aid to overseas, but also talking about programs that support local farmers, like the organic cost share certification or training for immigrant farmers, or programs like I've been talking about, the incentives, so that if you get your food stamps, you're incentivized to buy fruits and vegetables, not just soda or other kinds of things. That's a broader agenda that than what the faith communities have typically been advocating for. And it's tricky because you have to defend the good things that are here, but also say with a $1 trillion budget, there are a lot of smaller programs that we need to help raise the profile of. So how am I on time here, Cindy?
Almost done.
I did choose to not follow my notes okay. Very closely. So that's a lot. Those are some things about our program. I'll say just taking a quick look at the story of loaves and fishes. Jesus took loaves of barley and fish, not Lay's potato chips. That wasn't what they distributed. We went for something healthful. But I'll say, our organization, we're small. We have two other staff people, and we're looking to work with you more in the future, maybe on a CSA project, but also, Church of the Roses is one of the stars in the region, so that's maybe why we don't knock on your door so often, Cindy, because you're already doing such great stuff. And with the breakfast program, there are not too many congregations that can keep up and sustain what you've been doing for so many years. The other thing I'll say is, what do we have coming down the pike with our program besides doing some more advocacy work? We're looking at trying to figure out how to work with the congregations to do shareholder advocacy, because there's advocacy in the public policy arena, but also there are companies like Costco that was selling genetically modified fish. So we supported a campaign to help them not sell genetically modified fish. And there's certainly a number of ways that the Presbyterian Church can use their dollars that they invest at the not just your congregation, but at the national level, to do shareholder advocacy. Go to a shareholder meeting and say, hey, we'd like to see your company do X, Y, and Z. So that's part of the cutting edge we're talking about. Looking forward to working with you all in the future, and thank you for what you've been doing and for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope Steve can stay for a little while right after church. And if you are interested in, especially I love the program where the local farmers will drop off fresh food from their farms, you know, is it once a month?
Once a week, but some families share the box.
Yeah. So families share a box sometimes, but they drop it off once a week during the harvest time when they have so much. But here in Santa Rosa region, there's usually something, I think, year-round that they're able to share from their farms. And so it's a wonderful way to really get great organic food and to also support our local farmers, even in a bigger way than going to a farmer's market. So let's just pray about that as we carry on forward and think about how we individually can also volunteer at the Interfaith Sustainable Food Collaborative when they have their seminars and conferences and events where they need more people and contribute to the programs, because they are very good about finding great programs to give grants to, including ours. So we know that it's a really great organization. So thank you so much, Steve, for being here today. Seated. As we come to our time for our prayers of the people, I want to lift up the prayer requests that we have today. We want to pray for all the people and animals affected by the fires. So many fires are around, so please pray for them. And pray for a peaceful resolution to Nicaragua's unrest and violence that Nicaragua is especially experiencing. And also, we want to pray for the Kathy Ingram's family. Kathy passed away in June, and her neighbor called us. But if anyone knows how to reach Kathy Ingram's family, I've tried calling her number, and it rings, but it doesn't take a voice message or anything. So if you know anyone related to Kathy Ingram, she's been a member of this church a long time. So please let us know how we can reach out to the family. And also, we want to pray for the Interfaith Sustainable Food Collaborative and all the good work that Steve does. And Lisette works really closely with us, too, another staff person there, because they're working in so many different areas. And I'm sure it's exhausting at times. So thank you for all the good work that you do. And we'll lift up all those on our prayer request. I am happy to say my daughter, Catherine, is here today. And she... you all know. She finished the bar exam, and she'll find out in about 3 months if she passed. So please pray that she passed. That would be wonderful. So and so please just keep us all in your prayers, and all of our visitors here today. We have some visitors, so reach out during our fellowship hour especially and greet them. So let us pray. We praise your abiding guidance, O God, for you sent us, Jesus, our teacher and Messiah, to model for us the way of love for the whole universe. Redeeming sustainer, strength and courage upon us, that we may hurry to make you welcome, not only in our concern for others, but by feeding and serving generously and faithfully in your name. Thank you for teaching us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And may the Interfaith Sustainable Food Collaborative be blessed. May all those who are hungry be able to find food. May we do what we can to share of ourselves, to have a better life, not only for others, but for ourselves as well. Because when you give, you know, you receive even a multitude of blessings. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you now and forevermore. Amen.